If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Galatians. We want to continue our study through Galatians, and this evening we're coming to chapter 6. The Apostle Paul has been sharing with the Galatian churches, and remember, Galatia is a region, it's not a city. This was a letter that was passed from church to church, and God's Spirit incorporated it into His Holy Writ so that you and I have this to be an encouragement to us. Paul understood the spiritual battle we're in. Paul experienced that battle firsthand in ways that I know that I haven't, and I don't believe anyone here has had the depth of persecution that Paul endured for simply sharing the gospel and proclaiming truth. Paul desired that all men would be saved. He shared the gospel wherever he went. And he also desired that men would continue to walk in the truth and that their salvation wouldn't be merely a means of escaping hell, but rather there'd be the transformation in their lives as Jesus wants this transformation in all of his people's lives. He wants us new creatures. Paul in the book of Galatians is dealing with the spiritual battle that we're constantly in, a battle between a world system that appeals to our flesh and a battle that with Satan, who is behind this whole world system, and our own flesh, where we have a sinful nature that has been conquered by Christ at Calvary, but sometimes we as Christians can even fall back into sinful patterns, and God is dealing with the churches in Galatia as well as us by sharing with them, walk in the Spirit, not according to the flesh. And the last few weeks we've been looking at the difference between what it means to walk in the Spirit and walk in the flesh. In chapter 6, the Apostle Paul is going to give some practical examples on how you and I are to walk in the Spirit. How are we to show forth the fruit of God's Spirit in a practical day-to-day way, and when we live with our fellow believers as well as with the unbelievers around us? And so this evening we'll be beginning to look at chapter 6. I don't know how far we'll get tonight, but we'll take a look at what Paul has to say. And he begins by talking about what happens when you have a fellow Christian who struggles with a sin in their life. How are you going to deal with that person? And guess what? I don't know about you, but I've struggled with sin in my life. Sometimes I haven't, I've yielded where I shouldn't have yielded, and yet there's been people there to help me and pick me up and be an encouragement to me. And Paul is saying, how, number one, would you want to be treated if you found yourself in that situation by your fellow believers? And secondly, how are we to treat someone that we come across who has stumbled and fallen, who is struggling in this spiritual battle? And it's a real battle. And I remember one pastor that I heard bring a message one time, and he said, you know, sometimes Christians seem to be the only ones that leave the wounded behind, and we're not supposed to. We're supposed to be there to help one another, to encourage one another, and to be there to uplift one another in this battle that we're engaged in. Now let's take a look at verse 6, or chapter 6. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, and just pause there, that fault means if he be overtaken in a sin, if he be overtaken by temptation, and the whole concept of being overtaken really means apprehended or taken by surprise, not realizing what's happening, and then all of a sudden it happens. Sometimes we get involved in this world situation and we can respond wrongly and out of our flesh, and we can be overcome with an area of sin. And Paul's saying, what about this? So he's saying, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting, reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Let's just bow in prayer. Lord, I pray that you just speak to us through your word this evening. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to understand how we are to respond one to another, especially our fellow Christians, and how we're to be a light and salt to the unbelieving world, and how this needs to begin with our attitude and actions and character. Lord, help us to reflect your Son and his character, and Father, help us to live according to the power of your Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul addresses the same issue with the church at Corinth. And you remember when we went through 1 Corinthians, we saw that the problem there was there had been a young man who had been overcome by sin and was doing that which was even the heathen would acknowledge was wrong and sinful. And the church didn't do anything. And then when Paul said that they needed to deal with it, then they overstepped. Cast him out, like Paul said, set him apart, so that he would come to his senses and repent and turn back. But when he repented and came back, then what did they do? They didn't want anything to do with him. They didn't want him to let him back into the fellowship. And Paul said, you can't do this. You've got to forgive him, and you need to be there to be an encouragement to him now that he's repented of this sin. And it really boils down to how are we going to respond and what is our attitude and what is motivating us. Now, Paul has been talking about the flesh and the spirit. How does the world respond when someone is seen as doing something wrong? I remember a man that I knew one time, and he said, I've got a long memory. And he said, people may not realize it, but I'm going to take the opportunity and I'm going to get even. And so when somebody had done something that made him upset or that had wronged him, he made sure that at some point in his life, he'd get even with that person. And that is an attitude of revenge. It's an attitude that's driven by malice and hatred. These are evidence of the flesh, not of the spirit. And we as Christians are not to have those attitudes. We're not to have an attitude of, well, I'm going to get even. And not to have an attitude of, well, his day will come, or her day will come. But rather, we're to have an attitude where we show forth the character of Christ, and if we see a brother or sister in need, that's struggling spiritually, we should be there to comfort them, to encourage them, to help them to overcome the area that they're struggling with. And because we are in this battle against Satan, the world, and our world spirit, and our own flesh, and Paul is telling us, hey, we're on the same side if we're Christ's people. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, and the consequence of spiritual is you who are walking in the Spirit. That is what he's meaning by spiritual. Now, we're not to be walking in arrogance and pride saying, look at how spiritual I am and how worldly that person is, or look how worldly they are, and I'm so spiritual. No, he tells us the evidence of that we're really spiritual in our attitude. He goes on and tells us what is to be evident. He says, restore such in a spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. He's saying, attitude of meekness. That is, you're not filled with pride, saying, look at me, I'm not struggling. But be in an attitude of meekness and humbleness, and that you realize that you're walking not in your strength, but you're walking in the power of God's Spirit. And the only thing that is going to enable you to be able to help someone is for the Spirit of God to work through you. In the words you say, the actions you do, and how you treat that individual, and how you express Christ's love to them. And he says, why should you be motivated to do this? Well, he says, remember, you're in this battle too. And there may come the day that you're struggling. And how would you want to be treated? And what would you want people to do for you if you found yourself in this spiritual dilemma of having being overwhelmed or overcome by sin? Now, I want you to understand that Paul is talking about that Christ has given us a new commandment. Later on in this chapter, he talks about that. And this new commandment is based upon love, which is seen in what he did for us. How much did Jesus express his love to us as his children? Well, he loved us so much that when we were walking in rebellion against him, he went to the cross for us to pay the penalty for our sin, that we could be delivered out from underneath its control and underneath its condemnation and underneath its ultimate judgment, and be set free from it and be forgiven of doing those things which were in rebellion to him. And he brought us into his marvelous light and into his family, transforming our character and making us his children. And he did all that while we were yet sinners. And now he's saying, that is the mark of love, is what I've done for you. It's not what you can give me, but what I can do for you. So how should we approach people that are struggling? Well, a lot of times people that are struggling can't do much for us. And sometimes they can be a real pain because they are struggling, and they can be not only a bothersome and a worry, but they can, it's a lot more fun to be with people that aren't struggling, right? But God is saying, if you find a brother or sister that's struggling, you need to minister to them in real meekness, showing forth love because of what I've done for you and in my love and in my meekness. And then remember, there's going to come a day where you're going to stumble and you're going to fall, and who's going to be there for you? And we need to be there one for another in this battle. Now he's saying here, bear ye one another's burdens. Bear ye one another's burdens. One of the things that we need to understand is this time when we pray together, even though we're few in number, we don't understand the impact that can have when we pray for one another. You don't understand the impact that you can have when you pray for other people in our fellowship, for people that we know that have spiritual needs or physical needs, or even people that are in ministry. And I forget to pray for people, but when you stop and think, we're to be there to pray for one another and to be there to encourage one another, and that's how we bear one another's burdens. We don't think a lot of times that sometimes, like people, like you think of Mark Cahill, who is so bold in sharing the gospel. Do you think he has burdens? There's a few years ago where he was struggling really a lot physically. I think he's doing better now. I haven't talked to him for some time now. But the thing is, we need to remember that even though it appears that people are really strong in the Lord, and they are, but they still have struggles. And we need to remember to pray for them. That's how you bear their burdens. We can pray for the Pierces in India. They've got tremendous burdens right now. There's a lot of things happening in India with the current government trying to suppress any other religion but Hinduism. There's a lot of things happening with the COVID deals that are going on, even though India has taken a lot less shots and has stood against some of that. There's still a lot of pressure on people. And so we need to remember to pray for them. And plus, they're not young anymore. They're older. And remember to pray for them. Remember to pray for fellow Christians here. We don't understand sometimes and maybe didn't even know the burdens that people are carrying, but we can pray for one another, and God knows those burdens. Another thing is for us to be willing to share with one another so that we can pray. And it doesn't become a gossip thing, but rather it becomes a prayer thing. And that we're going to pray and we're going to go into spiritual battle on behalf of our brothers and sisters in the Lord, bearing one another's burdens and lifting them before Christ, that God will gain the victory for us. One of the things that has been amazing, I don't think we even realize here how many times God has answered prayers here. And you go back and look at, over the years, the things that we've seen people saved that we've prayed for. We've seen people healed of disease that we've prayed for. We've seen people like Joe and Bethany able to find this home, and God provided it for them when we prayed for it. We've seen all kinds of things, and sometimes we kind of just let it go over our head and don't thank the Lord. Thank you for answering our prayers. Thank you for hearing our prayers on behalf of one another. Thank you for allowing me to bear the burden of someone else. And the thing is, when we pray for one another and the burden that they're under, the blessing not only will come to them, but also us when those prayers are answered. And so we see here that he says, bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And the law of Christ, as I mentioned a few moments ago, is the law of love, and not out of what we can get out of it, but rather what we can give. And how we can be used of God to accomplish his purpose. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. And really, what is it when you think you're something when you're nothing? It's pride. It's pride. I heard a man speak, this was a few years ago, about 2 or 3 years ago, I heard him speak, and my wife and I, after we got done hearing him speak, he's well known, and he speaks and before large audiences, but we both said, something seems wrong. Something seems wrong. Well, really, the attitude with which he presented the stuff that he said, much of it was correct, but it was the attitude of kind of look at me. Look at me, you've got to listen to me because of who I am. I've got this ministry, I've got this platform, I've got this stage in which I can share. And look at me. Pride can come into the life of a believer, and it can impact the power of our ministry. And what it does is it opens up us to areas where we can stumble and fall. And one of the things that happened is that individual encourage people to do something that I feel was wrong. And many people did what he said because they thought that he had this platform and they thought he had this big ministry. And yet, when he encouraged them to do it, I didn't see that it was biblical. And I didn't see why he was doing it, but he did. And that's what Paul is talking about here. Don't think of yourself as something. But you come with an attitude of meekness, realizing that if you accomplish anything, it's only because of Christ. It's not us, it's Him. And it's what Jesus is working through us. And whenever we think that we're something that we're not, we're opening ourselves up so that we will take a chance of falling. But let every man prove his own work. And what does he mean by let every man prove his own work? Well, let every one of you, may your, another place, Jesus said, by their fruit you shall know them. How are you going to know my disciples? How are you going to know those that are walking in obedience to me? How are you going to know those that are being faithful? You'll know them by their fruit. He says here, if you're faithful, you'll be known by your own work, by the things that you do. You don't have to tell people. As a matter of fact, in the book of Proverbs, it tells us we're not supposed to go out tooting our own horn, but we're to allow someone else to share on behalf of us if they see that God would have them tell others about what we're accomplishing. And that's what he's saying here, that we're not to be walking out in pride and arrogance, but let every man prove his own work. In other words, let your fruit be seen before people, and may it be evident by the fruit of your life. And then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. And what is he saying in rejoicing in himself alone? Well, again, he's not going out to rejoice and tell everybody else, well, look at what I've accomplished. Look at what I've done. No. In my heart, I know that God has used me in this area to accomplish these things. Not me per se, but I mean you as a believer, knowing that God has done that and brings joy to your heart, seeing how God was able to use you to touch people's lives. And as you see the fruit of your faithfulness to the Lord being borne out in people's lives. For every man shall bear his own burden. And he's talking about there that each one of us needs to understand that we all have a burden to bear. And each one of us has struggles in this battle. And that we're being praying and concerned one for another, but we're to also realize that we're in this battle and we have burdens that we need to bear, and understand that Jesus will help us to do that. He talks about the fact that the song that we sing about His grace is greater. When the burden grows greater, then His grace increases, is what the song deals with. And that's the case. And God can be, we can see the Lord in the midst of our burdens. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. And so part of this needs, in order to communicate the Word of God, we need to know the Word of God, we need to be in the Word of God, we need to understand the Word of God, we need to know the principles of God, and you and I need to be teaching one another and being able to be ready to share with other people to be an encouragement to them. How do you help somebody in the midst of a struggle? Well, if there's somebody that is very, very discouraged and depressed, what would you say to them? How would you help them? Because you can't just go and say, just pick it up. No, the scriptures tell us that Christ is with us, and we can go point to scripture and show them by scripture. I remember a number of years ago, there was an acquaintance of my wife, and she was very depressed, and she came and wanted what she could do, and she was encouraged to read her Bible and to sing hymns, and that's what the lady did, and God brought her out of the depression by His word and by singing hymns and by spending time with Him. And we're to be there to teach others and to help others and to show forth the love of Christ in that manner. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. What is he speaking of there? We can have the appearance of sowing something that we're really not sowing. And he's speaking there that the Bible talks about our hearts and how they're deceitful and desperately wicked, and how who can know them? Well, God knows them. And we need to examine our own hearts and understand what are we really sowing, and what's the real motivation, and what's the purpose and how we're doing these things. Are we really desiring to help someone? Are we desiring to reflect all the attention back on me And people would say, look at what a wonderful person that is, instead of really coming with a spirit of meekness, and it's not about me at all, but it's about Jesus working in your life and giving you the victory. And so he's saying there, God knows our hearts, and he knows that if we sow in with the wrong spirit, we'll reap not the fruit of the spirit, but we'll reap the fruit of the flesh. It's interesting, if you look at many churches today, one of the common themes is a spirit that's really a motivation of the flesh and legalism, and not a spirit that's motivated by love. And Jesus tells us that we're to be motivated by love, not by the flesh. And what do I mean by a spirit of legalism and the flesh? Well, it's where I can do these things and I force you to do these things, and you'll do these things because I tell you to do these things, not because I really want what's best for you, but because I want you to be following me and following, doing what I'm saying. And you can be doing, it's interesting because you can do the same thing, and if it's by a spirit of love, it bears forth one form of fruit. If it's by a spirit of legalism and the law and our flesh, it bears a different fruit, even though it may be the same thing that a person's being requested to do. It's hard to give examples, although there'd be things that you can do. For example, let's take something that's pretty evident of dressing modestly. Well, why do you dress modestly? Do you dress modestly because you love the Lord and because he commands us to do that? Or do you dress modestly because somebody's telling you you need to dress with this kind of clothes and have the clothes be this fashion and do these things, and we're going to make sure that you're doing exactly like the way that I say? Now, the person may end up wearing the same clothes, but in one thing, they're being driven by the law and not by love. The other way, they're being driven, they're being motivated by the love of Christ, because I don't want to be a stumbling block to someone else. I want to honor and glorify the Lord, and I'm not seeking to please a man or a group of men or a body of believers, but I'm seeking to please God. It's probably a poor example, but I hope that you try and get my point, that what is our motivation? God knows the motivation of our heart. He knows why we're doing things, and we'll bear the fruit that's coming from that motivation and from that desire. If it's all about me and centered on me, the fruit I'm going to bear is not for the kingdom of heaven, but it's going to be born of my flesh. But if it's for Christ, I'll be bearing fruit that has eternal value and consequences, and bearing it for God. Well, let's just close. We'll pick up the rest of this next week and finish the chapter and see what Paul has to say about how we are to live in the power of his Spirit. Father, I pray that you just be with us tonight and help us to look to you, and Father, that you would help us to seek to honor and glorify you through our actions. Help us to be there one for another. Help us to seek to bear fruit that has eternal value, and that where we really care about people and desire to see your Spirit work through us to touch lives and transform them. Help us when we are struggling in our lives to be encouraged by others. Help us to lift up one another in prayer, and help us to be there to help one another. Lord, now I pray that you just go with us, just we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would...